for the whole chapter.
Oh.
Yeah. So, we will start from the beginning of this chapter again. And we will go briefly over the topics here. So, on page 592, the beginning of the chapter on Paticchasamuppada. So, the paragraph 2 states what is meant by the word, the Pali word, Paticchasamuppada, or dependent origination. So here it is said that the word Paticchasamuppada means ignorance and so on, the causes or conditions. And then paragraph 3 states that the Pali word Paticchasamuppanna means the conditioned states or the results, beginning with aging and death. That means aging and death, and then again ignorance and so on. So both mean just ignorance and others mentioned in the formula. The word dependent origination means the causes, and the word dependently originated state means conditioned states. And then in paragraph 4 again, they are restated that dependent origination of Paticchasamuppada means the conditions, and Paticchasamuppanna means the conditioned states. And then paragraph 5 gives the proof, say scriptural proof for taking dependent origination as conditions and dependently originated states as conditioned states. And in the second quotation, about two-thirds of the page down, so bhikkhus, that herein which is reality, not unreality, not otherness, specific conditionality, that is called dependent origination. So in describing the dependent origination, Buddha used these words, reality, not unreality, not otherness, specific conditionality. And these words are explained in paragraph 6. See? Because particular states are produced by particular conditions, neither less nor more, it is called reality, suchness, and then so on. Not unreality, not otherness. And the last one, specific conditionality. Now, the word total in this paragraph means a group or a multitude of the conditions. And then when paragraph 7 explains the word, the Pali word, iddapachayata, and it is most difficult to understand if you don't know Pali, or if you don't read the Pali, original Pali passage. So, in the word idda pachayada, there are two words, idda and pachaya. Idda means this, pachaya means condition. So, idda pachaya means, idda here means of these, and pachaya means conditions. So conditions of these, or conditions for these. And that is the literal meaning of the word iddapachaya, of condition for those. But actually, idda means these, not those. If you know Pali, you understand this. Then, there is a ta, ta, da at the end of the word. And that da is explained to have, first, to have no specific meaning, and second, to have the meaning of total or multitude. So iddapachaya and iddapachayata mean the same thing according to the first explanation. Then second explanation means iddapachaya means conditions for those, and iddapachayata means a total of or a multitude of conditions for those. So the suffix ta at the end of the word has two meanings. One is no specific meaning, and the other is a group or a total or multitude. And then the first sentence of the eighth paragraph should be at the end of the seventh paragraph. The characteristic must be short from grammar. Here, characteristic means just the grammatical rule. The grammatical rule should be short from grammar, because he was saying that the word ta has no meaning, I mean the suffix ta has no meaning, or it has the meaning of multitude. And it is to be explained according, with reference to grammars. And so, if you want to understand it clearly according to grammar, then you go to grammar books and find that characteristic really means find that rule. So, this sentence should be at the end of the seventh chapter. I mean, seventh paragraph, and not at the beginning of the eighth paragraph. And then, some in fact say, and so on. I think instead of in fact, we should say however. Some, however, say. Now, from this paragraph, the author refutes the opinion of other teachers that the word paticca-samuppada means just arising, not conditions or conditioned things, but just arising. So some teachers take this word to mean just arising. But the author takes it to mean the conditioning things. So that is a difference. And then that opinion is refuted. And the author gives four reasons for refuting that opinion. So the word paticca-samuppada does not mean just arising, but it is some states that arise or some states that cause to arise. Actually, some states that cause to arise is what is ultimately taken here. And so the four reasons. The first reason is there is no such sutta. That means it has no support in the suttas. There is no sutta to support it. If you take the paticca-samuppada to mean just arising, then there is no sutta to support it. That is the first reason. And the second reason is it contradicts suttas. And then the details will come later. And if you take paticca-samuppada to mean just arising, then there is contradiction with some suttas. And the third reason is it admits of no profound treatment. If you take paticca-samuppada to mean just arising, then it would not be profound. And the fourth is it is ungrammatical. So according to Pali grammar, you cannot take that to mean just arising. So these four reasons are given, and then the details of these are given later, down below. So number one, no sutta describes the dependent origination as simple arising. And number two, anyone who asserts that dependent origination is of that kind involves himself in conflict with the Badesa Vihara Sutta. So there are actually, in the suttas, we do not find by the name of Badesa Vihara Sutta, but it is called Badesa Vihara Sutta. So in that sutta, Buddha said, then in the first watch of the night, the Blessed One brought to mind the dependent origination in direct and reverse order. Immediately after his enlightenment, he stayed under the Bodhi tree. And when staying under the Bodhi tree, he reflected upon the dependent origination in direct order and in reverse order. Now, Badesa Vihara is the abiding in one part of that, according as it is said. Bhikkhus, I abode in a part of the abiding in which I abode when I was newly enlightened. And there he abode in the vision of structure of conditions. That means structure of conditions means paticca-samuppada. Not in the vision of simple arising, according as it is said. So I understood feeling with wrong view as its condition and feeling with right view as its condition, and feeling with wrong thinking as its condition, all of which should be quoted in full. Now, it is called Badisa. Badisa means in part, not in full. Vihara means abiding. So abiding in part, it is called abiding in part, because if you look at the quotation, so I understood, feeling with wrong view at its condition and so on, Buddha dwelt on feeling only here, not on the whole of paticca-samubbada. That is why it is called abiding in part, or reflection in part. Not reflection in the full paticca-samubbada, but one part of paticca-samubbada, only one part of paticca-samubbada he reflected on. So that is called, that is why it is called in Pali, Padisa Vihara. So here it is said that Buddha did not reflect upon just arising, but upon the things that arise. So that is why it contradicts with this sutta, if we take Paticca Samubbada to mean arising, just mere arising. There is likewise contradiction of the Kacchana Sutta. So this sutta is found in Sanyutta Nikaya, and there it is said, when a man sees correctly with right understanding the origin of the world, not origination, the origin of the world, Kacchana, he does not see of the world that it is not. So when he understands the origin of the world, not origination or not arising, the word there is loka samudaya. Samudaya can mean origination as well as something that originates. So here what is meant is something that originates. So understanding the origin of the world. If we take the translation origination as correct, then it accords with what other teachers say, right? Understanding the origination of the world means understanding the, arising of the world. So here, understanding of the origin of the world, that which causes the world to arise, that is lobha. So there would be contradiction with this sutta too if we take paticca samubbada to mean just arising. And there it is the dependent origination in forward order, not simple arising, that as the origin of the world and as the conditions of the world, not from its condition. Origin of the world and the conditions of the world is set forth in order to eliminate the annihilation view. So this sutta is set forth in order to eliminate the view that everything is annihilated at death. For the annihilation view is not eliminated by seeing simple arising. You cannot get rid of annihilationist view just by seeing simple arising. But it is eliminated by seeing the chain of conditions. That means one conditions after another arising, and then the things that are conditioned. So chain of condition really means uninterruptedness of conditions one after the other, as a chain of fruits following on a chain of conditions. So anyone who accepts that the dependent origination is simple arising involves himself in contradiction of the Kacchana Sutta. So you will contradict Kacchana Sutta if you take Paticca Samubbada to mean just arising. Then the next one is, it admits of no profound treatment. So just to see the arising is not difficult. But to see that there are conditions, and these conditions give rise to their conditioned states, that is difficult. So just to see the arising is not difficult and not profound. And Buddha said to Ananda in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta that this dependent origination is profound, Ananda, and profound it appears. And the profundity is fourfold, as we shall explain below. That is about the towards the end of the chapter. But there is none of that in simple arising. And this dependent origination is explained by the teachers as adorned with the fourfold method. But there is no need of any such tetrad of methods in simple arising. So dependent origination is not simple arising, since that admits of no profound treatment. And then the fourth reason is it is ungrammatical. So in order to understand this, you have to understand the Pali grammar. Now, the word paticca and samuppada first. Paticca is a gerund. So that is having depended upon, paticca. And then samuppada, arising or that which arises or that which causes to arise. Now, when there is a gerund like paticca, say having done something, having come, then the subject, let me say, there are two, can we say a verb? Can we call the gerund a verb?
Gerund is a verb form.
Yeah.
It's a verbal form used as a noun.
So there must be two verbs in such a sentence. See, here, having depended upon is one verb. And there must be another verb, the principal verb. And so there are two verbs, the principal and the, what do you call that, secondary verb. And these two verbs must have one and the same subject. That is what is saying, what the author is saying here. So this word paticca depended freely due to being a gerund of the verb pati, to go back to, establishes a meaning in a formula of establishment by verb when it is construed as past with the same subject. Past means it shows the past time. Say, you say, having come here, you study. Then your coming is past, before your study takes place. So, the secondary verb signifies a time in the past. And the principal verb may signify any time, sometimes past, sometimes present, and so on. So, when it is construed as past with the same subject as that of the principal verb, as in the sentence, having depended on the eye and visible objects, eye consciousness arises. Now, having depended upon eye and visible objects, eye consciousness arises. Here, eye consciousness is subject both of arises and having depended on. But if it is construed here with the word upada arising in the formula of establishment by noun, there is a breach of grammar because there is no shared subject or one and the same subject as there is in the above quoted sentence. And so it does not establish any meaning at all. Now, if you take upada to mean just arising, then having depended upon, there is arising. Having depended upon arising. So there is there's a subject arising and the verb having depended upon, but no principal verb. So it is against the rules of Pali grammar or Sanskrit grammar to say just paticca samuppada. Having depended upon arising, it makes no sense. So that is why later on say, so it does not establish any meaning at all. So the dependent origination is not simple arising because that is ungrammatical. Now, there are some words in this paragraph, especially in the square bracket first. In a formula of establishment by verb. Do you understand that? In a formula of establishment by verb. That means just a verbal noun, samuppada. If you take the samuppada to be a verbal noun means just signifying the action rather than the actor or rather than the agent. So Samubhara, according to the view of the order, Samubhara means that which arises, or that which causes to arise. But the other teachers take it to mean just arising, the action of arising. So that is called in Pali Bhavasadhana, in a formula of establishment by verb. Actually, just, I think, you call it what, verbal noun, or? It's not called jiran, right? Can you call it? Like going, coming, studying, writing?
Those are nouns made out of verbs.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So let's call it verbal noun.
Yeah.
So the word samubhara, the other teachers take to be a verbal noun. So it means just arising. But the other takes it to mean not a verbal noun, but a noun denoting an agent, denoting something that arises or something that causes to arise. So that is the difference between the two opinions. So it is ungrammatical. So patecha samubhara, having depended upon arising, so it makes no sense. Then, the others I said, what if we add the words come to be at the end? Say patecha samubhara hoti in Pali. Hoti means come to be. Patecha samubhara hoti. Now, hoti comes to be is a principal verb. So now there is a principal verb, and there is ubhara as the common subject, and so it is all right, he said. Then, the author said, that will not do. Why not? Because there is no instance in which it has been added. That means there is no instance, and he will give the quotation down below, where the words come to be, or in Pali, the word hoti is added. There is no instance that it is added. So there is no possibility of adding that word. For in such passages as paticca samuppadaṃ vo bhikkhavete sikkhāmi, katamoja bhikkhave paticca samuppado, ayam vocati bhikkhave paticca samuppado, I shall teach you the dependent origination bhikkhus. And what is the dependent origination? This is called the dependent origination bhikkhus. The words come to be are not added in any single instance. So you cannot add hoti there. And there is no such expression as arising comes to be. If it were, it would be tantamount to saying that arising itself had an arising too, because arising arises. Arising comes to be, arising arises. So that is rejected. Then there are other people, and those are wrong who imagine that specific conditionality is the specific condition's abstract essence. That means there is the word itapachyada. You saw this word in paragraphs 6 and 7, especially in the 7. So there, the author explains that itapachyada means conditions or group of conditions. But here, the other person says, what if we take here the word itapachyada to mean the essence, abstract essence of conditions, not group of conditions, not just conditions, but their particular mode, in say causing other states to arise. So that is what the other people would say. So, and those are wrong who imagine that specific conditionality is a specific condition's abstract essence, what is called abstract essence being a particular mode in ignorance, etc., that acts as cause in the manifestation of formations, or in making formations, etc., appear. And that the term dependent origination is used for that particular mode in formations. I want to say just that. And that the term dependent origination is used for that particular mode in formations. So it means just the mode and not the formations, etc., themselves. Then the author said it is wrong. Why are they wrong? Because it is ignorance, etc., themselves that are called causes. For in the following passage, it is ignorance, etc., themselves, not their alteration. Alteration means particular mode. So not their particular mode that are called the causes of these states. And then he gives a quotation. So in this quotation, the ignorance, etc., are called causes, not their particular mode. So to say that idapachyada means the particular mode is also not correct. Then from 15 onwards, we have the what meaning of paticca samuppada. So if any notion arises in the guise of a literal interpretation, that means just taking the appearance of the word, because the word samuppada seems to mean just arising. So if you take that the appearance of that word to be your basis of interpretation, then it is wrong. The term dependent origination to the fact that it is only arising, that is stated, that it should be got rid of. So if you still have the opinion that paticca samuppada means just arising, depending upon the appearance of the word samuppada, because samuppada mostly, such words as samuppada mostly mean the actions rather than the actors, or rather than the agent. So if you still cannot get rid of that opinion that paticca samuppada means arising, then read on. And then four meanings of the word paticca samuppada are given in the coming paragraphs, and I think I have explained them to you following this sheet. So I will not repeat them now. So in paragraph 16, you find the first and the second meanings of the paticca samuppada. And directly according to these two meanings, the conditioned state are meant as paticca samuppada. But we have to understand that the conditioning states are meant here according to a figurative sense. And that means something like saying, sugar is diabetes, salt is high blood pressure, and so on. So here, although the direct meaning is the conditioned states, we have to understand that they mean conditioning states. And then meaning 3, in paragraph 18, we have the third meaning. According to that, the states that are conditions are meant. And then the fourth one, paragraph 20. According to that, too, the conditions are meant, not the states that are conditioned. So there are four meanings of the word paticca samuppada, according to Venerable Buddha Gosa. And then he explained that there are two parts, paticca and samuppada, having dependent upon, and then that which arises. So by the word paticca, the belief in eternalism and others are destroyed. And by the word samuppada, belief in annihilation and so on is destroyed. So by the word paticca, belief in eternalism is destroyed, and by the word samuppada, belief in annihilation is described. And by the whole word, Paticca-samubbada, what is shown? The middle path is shown. you may remember that in the first sermon, Buddha said, not approaching to the either extreme, I have discovered the middle path. Something like that. So here also, the Paticca-samubbada is a middle path, and here the other extremes are eternalism on the one hand and annihilationism on the other. And then paragraph 25, preamble. So here he states that Paticca-samubbada is very difficult to understand and difficult to talk about or difficult to say, teach and so on. And here, let's see, its meaning should be commented on by one who keeps within the circle of the Vibhajjavadins. That means Theravada Buddhists. Or just Buddhists. Vibhajjavadin. And then, who does not misrepresent the teachers? Who does not advertise his own standpoint? I think that is not correct. Who does not overstep his own tradition or something? Not advertise his own standpoint. The Pali word here means avokkamantena. That means not going out of one's own tradition. And who does not quarrel with the standpoint of others? Who does not distort suttas? Who is in agreement with the Vinaya? Who looks to the principal authorities, Mahabodhisattvas? They are very famous in the teachings of the Buddha. And you find these Mahabodhisattvas in two places. One place is, say, Digha Nikaya. That is the in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. So that is in the English translation, the page number is 133, Dialogues of the Buddha, volume 2. And there is another set of Mahabodhisattva in Vinaya. So if you're interested, I can give you the reference. So Book of Discipline, part 4, page 347. So these two sets are different. Not the same ones. They're the different set of principal authorities. Who illustrates the law? Who takes up the meaning, repeatedly reverting to that same meaning, describing it in various different ways and so on. And then he quotes the ancient saying that there are four things which are difficult to see and also difficult to teach. And they are the Four Noble Truths, about the Four Noble Truths, about the being, about rebirth, and about the Paticca-samubbada, structure of conditions means Paticca-samubbada. And then next page, therefore, considering that to comment on the dependent origination is impossible except for those who are expert in text. But there are something missing here. Now, the Pali word used here is Agama digama pattehi. Agama means say learning, and adigama means enlightenment. So those who have learning and also those who are enlightened, only those can understand and explain the Paticca-samubbada fully. So we should add some words here. Considering that to comment on the dependent origination is impossible except for those who are expert in text and who have gained enlightenment. And then he said he couldn't find a footing for support in the ocean of Paticca-samubbada. So he almost gave up actually. So he almost gave up commenting on Paticca-samubbada, but he said, however, many modes of teaching raises the dispensation here, and still the former teacher's way is handed down unbrokenly. Therefore, on both of these, relying for my support, I now begin its meaning to elucidate. So I will comment upon this, relying on the former teacher's way handed down unbrokenly, and also on the teachings of the Buddha. And then we come to the brief exposition. Now, as different ways of teaching, so Buddha taught Paticchasamuppada in different ways. That is what? From the beginning. Sometimes Buddha taught from the beginning, from ignorance, and then goes on to formation, consciousness, and so on. Sometimes from the middle up to the end. He picks up in the middle and then goes to the end. Sometimes from the end back to the beginning. And sometimes from the middle down to the beginning. That means, let's say, up to the beginning. And sometimes, from the middle down to the beginning. So, Buddha taught in different ways this doctrine of Paticchasamuppada. And then the quotations are given. So, how Buddha taught them. Sometimes Buddha said, paragraph 29, so because with ignorance as condition there are formations and so on and so on, with birth as condition, aging and death. This is the normal sequence of teaching. And then second one, when he is delighted with welcomes, remains commitment to that feeling, that delight arises in him. Now, he picks a feeling here, right? That feeling. Then delight arises in him. Delight and feeling is clinging, which is clinging as, with his clinging as condition, there is becoming and so on. So he picks up feeling and then goes to the end. And then in the third, with birth as condition, aging and death, so it was said. But is there aging and death with birth as condition or not? Or how is it there is aging and death with birth as condition? So we think Venerable Sa, with becoming as condition, birth and so on. So he picks up something in the middle and then goes back. Just as one of the fourth one is what? Middle to the beginning, right? Oh yes, that is middle to the end. So the fourth is middle, picking up something in the middle and then goes back. So craving, what is its source? Feeling, what is its source? Contact, what is its source? The sixfold ways and so on. So in different ways Buddha taught this doctrine of Paticchasamuppada. If you read the suttas, you will find this. Why does he teach it thus? Because the dependent origination is wholly beneficial. I think the word is something like gracious, not beneficial. Because it is gracious in all aspects. And because Buddha himself has acquired elegance in instructing or teaching. So these are the two reasons why he taught in this way. The dependent origination is entirely gracious. Starting from any one of the four starting points, it leads only to the penetration of the proper way. That means it really leads to the penetration of the proper way. And the Blessed One has acquired elegance in instructing. It is because he has done so through possession of the four kinds of perfect confidence and the four discriminations, and by achieving the fourfold profundity, that he teaches the law by various methods. So he taught by various methods, and because he has the elegance in instructing, he was very expert in teaching. And then, but it should be recognized in particular that when he sees that people susceptible to teaching are confused about the analysis of the causes of process of becoming, he employs his teaching of it forward studying and so on. So this is the detailed explanation of the elegance in teaching. And then, paragraph 36. But why is ignorance stated as the beginning here? So, in the formula of the dependent origination, the ignorance is the first one, right? So, why is ignorance stated as the beginning here? Is it the causeless root cause of the world, like the primordial essence of those who assert the existence of the primordial essence, I think how is not good here. The word how. I would say, is ignorance also the causeless root cause of the world, like the primordial essence of those, and so on? It is stated at the beginning of the formula. So, does that mean that ignorance is the first cause? Then the answer is, it is the primordial essence and so on refer to the Samkhya philosophy in Hinduism. It is not causeless, for a cause of ignorance is stated thus, with the arising of kankas, there is the arising of ignorance. So ignorance is also its cause. But it is put at the beginning of the teaching of the Parijasamura, because it is the outstanding cause of karma. We will find that in paragraph 38. So ignorance, also put at the beginning of the formula, is not the first cause, or not causeless root cause. But why does the Blessed One give the exposition of the realm with these two things at the starting point? That means, when Buddha taught the Paticca-samuppada, he took two things as two dhammas as the outstanding cause of karma. The one is ignorance, and the other is craving. Dhanna, avadhanna. So, why does the Blessed One give the exposition of the realm with these two things as a starting point? Because they are the outstanding causes of karma that leads to happy and unhappy destinies. So, because of ignorance, you do something wrong or something good, and then it leads to the jati or rebirth and so on. And also because of craving. You say, we want to be reborn, we will be reborn in a better world, thinking that the good destiny is a place to go to, although according to the Buddha it is full of suffering. So because of the craving for a better life, we do something good. And as a result of that, we will be reborn there. And after birth, there comes aging, death, and so on, suffering. So these are the two main or outstanding causes of karma. So Buddha gave the exposition of the round of rebirth with these two things as starting points. Sometimes he begins with what? Ignorance, and sometimes with craving. So sometimes Buddha taught the ignorance as a condition for the round of rebirth, and sometimes craving. And then page 43, as to meaning, here comes some strange explanations of the word. So as to meaning of the words, ignorance and so on, bodily misconduct, etc., for example, I think for example is not good here. You may say namely. Bodily misconduct, etc., are called those that ought not to be found. Bodily misconduct, etc., are called those that ought not to be found, or that ought not to be acquired, in the sense of being unfit to be carried out, unfit to practice. The meaning is that it should not be permitted, or it should not be acquired, it should not be got. Here, you will see the Pali word avindiya. Now, Vinda means to obtain, to acquire, to get. Vindya, not fit to acquire, not fit to get. Now he is explaining the word avijja in Pali. It finds vindati, what ought not to be found, thus it is ignorance. Conversely, good bodily conduct, etc., he also, are called those that ought to be found or that ought to be acquired. It does not find what ought to be found, thus it is ignorance. I think this is just a play on words. Avijja. Avijja is here derived from the root vida,